It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome in to a very special edition of the Sports Objective Podcast. Montgomery fired today, and I was just at the David Blackwell press conference. We'll talk about that. With me right now, bring in my fine gentleman, I think the world of, Kyle from McGrady's Barber. You okay, man?
Oh, yeah. I'm just, busy. Eating Hot Pockets.
All right. And Bubba Rosenbaum, what's up, dude?
Not a whole lot. Just wrapped up things with my day at school and got the news earlier in the day when app that I have on my phone and all the text messages rolling in and during the middle of one of my classes. So
did you get it from me for the text I sent you?
I did. And, of course, I hate the news for Coach Montgomery and his family, but like we've discussed, I mean, it's what needed to happen. Sadly enough, but I hate the impact that it has on all the coaching staff and their families. Just like Coach Blackwell referenced, and we'll get into, I'm sure, in a few minutes as far as his press conference remarks.
Yeah, I just feel like I feel terrible for obviously the personal element of it is obviously bad. We definitely can all agree on that. I think what it comes down to, as David Blackwell said, I love Blackwell because he doesn't give you as much coach speak as some coaches do. He said he just felt like it came down to we didn't win enough games. And I think that's how else can you better way to put it than we could be 4-8 on after Saturday, we'll be 3-9. So you don't have the bowl guarantee. I know that it was kind of shocking because it happened around, for folks listening that had to work today, I was lucky I had the day off. It happened at Thursday, being today, at 12:15. We got a press release from Tom McClellan, the assistant, obviously associate athletic director, and for media relations. And so as soon as I got that release, I read it a couple times to make sure I was reading things correctly. I thought it was when I saw Tom McClellan, I thought it was going to be about the athletic director is what I initially thought. And I kept reading it. And I said, I want to make sure this is right before I text anything out. And so to the guys, for you guys to know what was going on. And I read it a few times and I said, I was just completely in shock. I guess it's one of those things where even though you may know it's coming, still the moment when it hits you is still, at least I can speak for myself, I was still in shock. I thought it would be Saturday or Sunday. I thought that, in other words, the outcome I thought was going to happen, I just thought it would be the traditional after the game. And I know, Bubba, you were talking about Jeff Gravely, and I'm going to get Kyle's reaction to why he thinks it happened on Thursday, because it was his take that I thought was interesting. He and I talking about it back at lunchtime. But, Bubba, what was Jeff Gravely's tweet? Do you remember that? It's okay if you don't have it, if you can just kind of verify.
I was pulling it up as we speak.
But anyway, Jeff Gravely, I know from WRAL, does an excellent job for folks listening in Raleigh. There on the TV, he's been a sports anchor for a number of years and has a lot of cred, if you will, and knows these programs extremely well. I know that he's a North Carolina kid from Oxford. So I know you appreciate me calling me a kid, but it's better than becoming an old guy, right? So, but he is actually from Oxford, a native of Oxford, and does an outstanding job and somebody I like a lot. He's a really nice guy. So,
yeah. Bubba, do you have that tweet up yet?
Anyway, I was just not to throw you a curveball. Basically, I know that Bubba, wasn't he saying, just paraphrasing, he's questioned the timing of it, of when EC fired Scotty Montgomery?
Right, and I do have the tweet. He said, to do this two days before a game deserves, and then he had the poop emoji. Players don't deserve this, plus don't let Scotty go through his Monday presser and post-practice avails. So, and I agree with him. I think we should have acted sooner. And I know right now we're going to get into why we acted when we did.
Yeah, it's obvious why we acted when we did.
We should have did this past weekend. It's lack of planning. Lack of organization from the leadership. We should have made the decision this past weekend and made the announcement on Monday. Now, with that said, I think the plan was to go through this weekend, let him be the head coach, and then terminate him after the game. But I think what has happened is Mike Houston was someone that a lot of people at East Carolina wanted. I think he, you know, didn't accept the job that Charlotte when offered, made it public he didn't accept the job that Charlotte would offer. And I just speculation on my part, I think there's probably some bigger money donors that stepped in and stepped up and made it clear they wanted Mike Houston as our next head coach, and we better get him before it's too late. And I think that's what it's about. I think now will we pull it off? Will we get Mike Houston at the 11th hour? Who knows? But I do think that's why the decision was made on Thursday. That look, you typically ain't going to fire a head coach.
No,
48 hours before a game. So I have no doubts in my mind that it's something related. If it's not related to Mike Houston, then it goes back to he's still coaching, right? And I think it goes to Butch Jones, and his name's come up for Georgia Tech and Maryland. And it could be, you know, if that was the plan to bring in Butch Jones and John Gilbert along, then we would have to get Butch Jones under contract before he goes somewhere else. But I got a feeling that whether we're able to pull the Mike Houston thing off or not, I don't know. But Richmond, the Richmond newspaper, what is that, the Richmond Times?
Times, yep.
Yeah, you should know, David.
yeah.
The Richmond Times-Dispatch.
I own the paper. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, wow. The Richmond Times-Dispatch is reporting that Houston is in negotiations with us. Several other people are also tweeting the same, that is, you know, bidding more between us and Charlotte and, I guess, JMU. I'll tell you what, if we do get him, you talk about – creating a rivalry with Charlotte. Good God Almighty, can you imagine that? I mean, that's going to be a heated battle on the football field when, whenever we do play, if we pull this off. But that's why I think it happened when it did. David, I know you agree. Bubba, what do you think? Are you along the same lines of thinking?
I am. And as far as those two candidates go, I would certainly be okay with either one of them. My preference would be Mike Houston, for sure. You look at Mike Houston, it's a guy that's won at so many levels. He's won on the high school level, did a tremendous job there at PC Robertson in Asheville, North Carolina, and then, of course, moved on. I think got his college coaching start at Brevard College, maybe, and then he moved on to Lenoir Ryan as a defensive coordinator, and then, of course, a very successful head coach, took him to the D2 national title game, moved on to the Citadel where he performed very well. And then
to the playoffs, which is hard to do at the Citadel.
Right. And something else that people may forget, and sure, South Carolina was in a bit of turmoil. It had Steve Spurrier step down and Sean Elliott take over. But he went in there to Williams-Brice Stadium and upset the Gamecocks. And then, of course, everybody knows it's been so well documented what he's done at JMU. I mean, the guy at JMU, he's won a national title and then played for one last year, and then they're going to, the quarterfinals now?
Yes, yeah, that's
you,
correct on Saturday.
You guys want to hear something interesting? Mike Houston has – now, wait a minute. Let me make sure I get this right. I don't want to be throwing out false information, trying to run something through my head here. Okay, scratch what I was going to say. But I was going to say Mike Houston has two wins in the American Athletic Conference while he's at JMU, but I think correct. He just has one over East Carolina. They beat SMU in 2015, the year before Mike Houston went to James Madison.
Okay, well.
Speaking of wins, his overall mark is 80-24, and then at JMU he's 37-5. 22-2 in the CAA.
That's incredible. I mean, he's a winner. But you win at multiple levels. You play for national championships at two different levels. you're a winner. I mean, there's just no doubt about it. And, you know, they talked about on Pirate Radio earlier, would Donnie Kirkpatrick, if Mike Houston does leave for East Carolina, would Donnie K get the head coaching job at JMU? Would he come with him? I hope Donnie Kirkpatrick comes with him. But if he doesn't, Mike Houston is still a tremendous hire.
Well, it goes back to me, you guys and I, all three of us, and a lot of people that we know that are involved in the Pirate Club or not a Pirate Club, I'm sorry, that are Pirate Club members. I don't want to put the staff on the spot, but we know people that are donors, season ticket holders, people in the media, a whole bunch of stuff that love Mike Houston. And I think that I believe, and Kyle said this last night, so obviously and I agreed with you, Kyle, as a coach, I just don't see how you do after the practice and you talk to the media and you mention about the Charlotte job if you don't want the ECU job. I really don't, because I know that he's a no-nonsense guy, which I love about Coach Houston, but I think that was like a message like, hey, I'm getting ready to take the job, so if you want me, then you better come after me, right?
Well, not so much.
Maybe not.
Maybe not so much that he mentioned it. It talked about it and answered the question directly. It's just the way he said it of, you know, I've only been offered the job in Charlotte. I haven't taken it yet.
Right.
I
mean, that's
it was very, generally you get a comment, something along the lines of, sure, I've talked to the people at Charlotte. Right now my focus is James Madison on winning this playoff game this weekend. But his dialogue was a little different, and maybe it was just the way he is. He's not much coach speak coming out of him. Maybe it was not directed at East Carolina. But, you know, Troy said yesterday, again, I'm referencing Troy, on Live at 5, that he spoke with a very close friend of Mike Houston, and we can all assume who that was, and basically said that he wants to be the head coach at East Carolina, but he couldn't wait around forever. That was Troy's exact quote.
When he was on Pirate Radio Live, when I was watching yesterday on Facebook Live, I felt like that what you and I talked about, Kyle and Bubba, the three of us, that there's no question there's a lot of guys that love the job and would be great here. But when you have a guy like Mike Houston that's done his resume and he truly wants to be here, you've got to go after and get him. And you know the great thing about him, you know, Kyle was telling you earlier before the press conference, you and I were talking, and the great thing about Mike Houston is as far as the salary-wise, we don't have to mortgage the family farm and do some kind of crazy deal or whatever to get Mike Houston. I think you could do the same salary with Houston, and he'll take it.
If you were doing with Montgomery, yeah, probably.
You're right. Maybe a little bit more.
I will say this. Well, you're going to have to outbid Charlotte. But I will say this. The one thing that does scare me a little bit is Charlotte had already offered Mike. Charlotte does have an AD in place. They're more stable and from that department. So that does worry me a little that he may decide to go to Charlotte. That, hey, they already wanted me. They have an AD in place. But
something you said – I'm sorry. I was just going to add to what you were saying – and get, once again, giving you credit, something you've told me, we've talked about, I can't remember if we have on the podcast, it all seems to run together. But if you're Mike Houston and your stability is in question, which it is, then maybe you can offer him a longer deal or different incentives to definitely sweeten the pot.
If his concern is, Dave Hart, you're hiring me, and if Dave Hart's the one making that, if there's not a decision, and look, we're all still sticking to John Gilbert's going to be the AD.
Right.
But if that's not a done deal, if there's not an AD in place and Hart's the one that's having to make this decision to try to get Mike Houston in here, then I think maybe offer him a 6 or 7 year deal instead of a 5 year deal. I don't know if there's any state laws against that. I'm not sure. It is, at the end of the day, I guess a state contract with the university. So I don't know if we can offer anything more than a 5-year contract. I'm not sure, but if we can, you may offer him a longer contract that way.
I'm sorry, you can, because Fedora got one.
Okay, remember? I wasn't aware of that. But
I know I'm such a big Tar Heel, but
I thought you were a Blue Devil actually. That would be an idea. It's an incentive for job security, a lot harder to buy a 6 or 7 year deal, or just give them a big buyout on the contract. If you have to give them some added incentive to come in here without knowing who his boss is going to be long term.
Yeah. I have a feeling, though, that they – I have a feeling that his people, like the agents, they will already know who the AD is, even if they haven't announced it. And they
well,
say
I mean, and,
we,
and we've made that – you know, listeners, you know, we did the special podcast saying John Gilbert was going to be AD off of, you know, information that we had received. And we're sticking by that. Now, something could have happened to change that. But at the time, it sure did look imminent.
And I will say this, too, for that record. I'm going to say this, and I haven't told Bubba this. So, Bubba, we'll know right now. I checked again today, someone that was close to the story, and they told me that they even talked to people in Knoxville, in Tennessee, that said that it was going to happen. So I don't know. The one thing that I think that could happen – that I was told that maybe there's something going on at Southern Miss as far as the – it's a formality. In other words, what I'm trying to say, the timing is maybe the issue right now where Southern Miss hadn't been asked or permission to interview – for ECU to interview Gilbert. That was what I'm hearing now. I don't know that – you know, we obviously were not at the deals, but that's what I'm hearing now is that he hasn't formally been – or I think as we speak, I think he is being formally interviewed maybe today or somewhere around there. But
that was the plan originally. I think,
right.
Yeah, but at the time of our announcement, there had been no formal interview,
correct.
Supposedly.
Correct.
So,
yeah, something else is you're talking about the timing of the interview. Of course, at the Board of Trustees meeting, they were calling in, correct? So, and you're talking about Cecil Staten and the other – I guess Dave Hart as well weren't present. So there you go. Maybe. But,
well, I can tell you based on information that was gathered yesterday, is to my knowledge, Dave Hart was there's conflicting reports that he was in Hattiesburg. There was conflicting. There was a report that he was in Raleigh last night. As we're recording this. From what I understand, Cecil Staten was in New York City at an ECU alumni party for New York alums. I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what I was told is the reason he wasn't at the Board of Trustees meeting Wednesday. It's neither here nor there. I'd love to know what happened, what the chain of events were that brought this decision to go ahead and terminate my Houston one. Excuse me, not terminate Houston. Montgomery.
Please don't say that.
Terminate Montgomery when we did. I'd love to know the sequence of events. Dave Hart was the one that delivered the message to Scotty Montgomery that he had been terminated, you know, because the statement was still out of town. And so Dave Hart was the messenger. I'd love to know the sequence of events that happened that led up to the decision that was made to terminate him today.
I think that it was, we don't know. I think that what you say, Kyle and Bubba, that it looks like that they were going to fire him anyway. They made a decision to fire him. I think that something happened, obviously, with the
Mike Houston. The decision was made, and then he got moved up because of the Mike Houston situation. Yeah, that's most likely what happened. But I mean literally the sequence of events. I mean, who made the call? Was Staten and Hart on the phone with each other last night and this morning? Was there donors that stepped in, you know, and said, hey, you know, we got to go ahead and move on this? You know, I'd love to know exactly what happened. And, you know, we never will officially,
right.
But it's just would love to know. Bubba,
and it could be certain people with other, well, shall we say, there could be other people that, from various parts of Love ECU that are part of leadership and statewide leadership that could make decisions. Who knows? I mean,
I don't know. It's a hairy situation.
Well, it's been a well done situation. Hopefully, nice. That was nicely done there. But
something I wanted to chime in with, Dave. You know, a few minutes ago we were talking about, obviously, Coach Houston, that rumor of him to Charlotte broke yesterday. And so I was looking at Brad Lambert's salary, the guy that Charlotte's, of course, seeking to replace. And Coach Lambert was making $625,000. His base was like $275,000, and total package,
oh, wow,
from what I saw in USA Today, was $625,000. So obviously Coach Mo was – he started at, yeah, he started at $1 million back in 2016 and now was making essentially twice what Coach Lambert was making. So you would think that we'll be offering at least $500,000 more probably than Charlotte would be able to.
Yeah. Like you said, Kyle, 1.2, 1.5 in that range, you can get Mike Houston out of the way, don't you?
Yeah, I would imagine Charlotte, you know, this is just pure speculation on my part. Charlotte will be offering somewhere between $600,000 and $800,000, and we'll be able to offer somewhere between $1 million and $1.5 million would be my guess. So based on salary, you would think we would be able to get him over Charlotte. What's going to be funny is we do this whole damn podcast based around Mike Houston and then he isn't the guy.
Well, if he's not, we can just say right now, we're talking about Scotty Montgomery being fired. David Blackwell is the
interim,
the man in charge right now, interim head coach. And I think that, you know, again, you can see the reaction of folks. I think, I don't know that, you know, the players, you know, are hurt. And
sure,
I know they are. I know they're frustrated. I think but I would argue to them, and I understand that was their head coach, but I can also tell you that there's a lot of fans who are hurt, angry, sad, definitely deflated. You know, the last few years has been really rough on the fan base. And
absolutely,
as I was telling Kyle, this is the fans are the customers. And if you get Mike Houston, you've given the customers what they want. If you get Butch Jones, it'll be, I would feel like, the same thing. It has to be, and let me repeat, it has to be a wow hire. It can't be just a guy with a pulse. And no offense, but it can't be that. So I think that deep down they know that. I think that they've got to. I was just laughing at the press conference, guys, because there's a certain person who, it will remain nameless, who is upset, I guess, that we reported stuff and other people reported stuff, and we don't know what we're talking about. But
was he at the press conference?
No, he was not. So,
was somebody there on his behalf?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
But what it comes down to is, in all seriousness, is...
Has he had a haircut recently?
I don't know. I don't have a haircut schedule. And obviously, I'm follically challenged, so that's why I have a face for radio and podcasting.
That was what we call an inside joke, fellas.
Exactly. what I was getting at is when you were talking about that, when we go by what our sources tell us, and we do have sources, and let me be very clear, as I mentioned on the emergency podcast the other night about John Gilbert, we checked all day long, and all three of us checked. We were talking to people at ECU and at Southern Miss, and we even had somebody today that they had checked at Tennessee as well. So we've been checking even after the fact. The last couple of days we're checking.
David, I don't have any sources. I don't know nobody. Are you kidding me?
Oh, well, okay.
Yeah, I mean, are you kidding me?
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Speaking of inside jokes, I'm sorry. Let me address this. You are I did not know this, but apparently you're the minimum wage T-shirt maker. So
I'm the minimum wage T-shirt maker. and as of today, I have a fifth grade education. That's the latest. I have a fifth grade education. I'm a minimum wage T-shirt maker with a fifth grade education, according to some in power.
Both are not true. So
no, it's all true. It's all true.
Oh, okay.
100% true.
Because they said it, right?
Yeah, of course, it's factual. I have a fifth grade education. And I make minimum wage. And,
I think you do very well for fifth grade education.
Well, thank you. You know, I got some smart to me. You know, you know, I clearly would not have any sources. Who the hell would I know? But anyway,
you're the T-shirt redneck.
Yeah.
T-shirt maker redneck. And $100 redneck. I mean,
who wants,
you know, you're like a little dog, you know, like a little dog that barks a lot. And
now I'm a pretty big dog, but
I know, but in their eyes, they don't know any better. So it's fine. You know, people want to say we're not journalists or whatever. And I have 22 years of, just so people know, I'll educate them. I have 22 years of broadcasting experience. I also worked 5.5 years in the Raleigh market, working at WPTF. That's a news station where I had to work with some of the best people, major market people. And Raleigh is actually right now market number 30, and 25 is a major market. So it's pretty daggone close to being a major market. And if we had done anything like the people were insinuating we did, they would have fired us for that. So I learned very carefully, even all through my broadcasting career, you better make sure the story is right.
Yeah, so the 100%, we double-checked, triple-checked, quadruple-checked our sources, that there were sources coming. I have people that I know at USM that I put David and Bubba in contact with, and they were contacting them all day Wednesday. I to be honest, I didn't have time to make many contacts Wednesday because I was, you know, busy, you know, doing my job. Yeah. And so you guys were contacting the people at USM that I put y'all in contact with Wednesday. We had other contacts from East Carolina. Bubba particularly has contacts from East Carolina, people that would know.
And I have
contacts from, and so does David, yes, and we have contacts from other schools. So that were all giving us intel
about John Gilbert.
John Gilbert, thank you. John Gilbert's coming to East Carolina. And we still stand by that 100% right now. John, we've been told no different. We've even had confirmation again today, as David alluded to earlier. John Gilbert will be our next athletic director. And
let me say this. I wanted to make sure that I'm asking even today different people, because I want to make sure our sources are right. And people can laugh at us and say that we don't, you know, like it's, I know, amateur hour, you're thinking that because it's a podcast. It's not something that has been around a long time, including our podcast starting in March. But I'm telling you, without a doubt, the timing may be wrong, but what we were told, we had to go by what we were told, and we held off for at least 12 hours before we made our announcement to be 100% sure. And then since Tuesday night, we've been still checking and still working the story. And my God, Kyle and I have been working on the story since March. So together, individually, we've been working on the story. Bubba's come along. He's trying to help us out since July, or maybe June, even before he started recording with us. He was working on it. So it's not like they were amateurs and we're just guessing and trying to connect the dots and throwing stuff up against the wall and hope it sticks like paint. We really do that. So I wanted to say that because I know there's folks, you know, God bless the people on the message boards. I love them.
And most of them are great. Look, just from a personal note, a lot of people have really enjoyed my phone calls on Pirate Radio and enjoyed me on the podcast. And, you know, I'm over the top, and that's just my personality. I get people reaching out to me all the time telling me how much they enjoy my calls on the fifth quarter, et cetera. But, you know, then I get people that want to attack me personally and say things that just are not true. And, you know, I get to the point where I'm just about sick of it. And I haven't really been wanting to acknowledge that on the podcast very much because I don't want to give those people any credence. But that's a pretty big word for me, isn't it?
Especially for somebody with a fifth grade education.
Exactly. But I'm just getting sick of it. And, people want to call me out. Look, say something. You know, if anybody wants to talk to me face to face, you know, I'm more than willing to do it. I'm just getting just tired of that. And one thing that can be said for me for sure is I don't hide behind anything. I say who I am. Kyle from LaGrange, last name is Barber. When I call in on Pirate Radio, I'm not scared to speak my piece and say what I think. And you're hiding behind a message board handle. And you know,
never calling in.
Yeah, exactly. And so the personal attacks towards me, it's cool. If you want to keep doing them, that's your choice. But it's not what this podcast is about, but I'm just getting sick of it and just putting that out there. And
yeah, well, you know, I was telling
attack Bubba. He didn't go to ECU either.
And it doesn't matter. I was thinking about this morning when I took a shower and I'm getting ready. Guess what? Tom McClellan back on our podcast in April made a good point. I don't know if you remember, Kyle. He was talking about how it doesn't matter who you are. If you buy one game ticket a year, season ticket holder, if you're a big donor, small donor, if you're in the Pirate Nation, you're in Pirate Nation, regardless of what school you went to or not. In fact, I mean, how many people, let's be honest, you look at UNC and NC State, maybe you could argue Duke, how many people actually went to that school that are fans?
Correct. I mean,
and so the same thing for East Carolina. We want as many fans as we can get and then some.
I didn't go to East Carolina. You know, I've never lied and said I did. My wife is a graduate of East Carolina. You're going over there. Bubba did not go to East Carolina. He played college football up at Averett in Danville, Virginia. And I'm a Pirate Club member. Bubba's a Pirate Club member. We both are season ticket holders. The problem isn't people like me and Bubba. The problem is all the people that did go to East Carolina who don't give a damn thing to the university.
Right.
If you look at all the alums we have who are not Pirate Club members, who don't buy season tickets, who will, you know, go to your whatever. Just go. A good example is we got a lot of Pirates in education. Go to your child's school and ask around, see how many of those teachers went to ECU. Then ask them how many of them, who's your favorite school, who do you cheer for, and see how many of them say go Tar Heels. I mean, we really need more of our alums to step up. And the handful of people who want to alienate people who didn't go to East Carolina who have an opinion and are Pirate Club members, instead of trying to, you know, say their opinion doesn't matter because they didn't go to the school, why don't you worry more about the people who did go to the school that don't give anything back?
That's an excellent point, Kyle. That's something I've run into down through the years. I've been very involved with the Triad County's Pirate Club chapter and then now the Charlotte Mech Pirate Club or Queen City Pirate Club chapter, as we call it. And just down through the years, so many times you run into those alums that don't give $100 and I'm not saying that like it's a small amount of money because every little bit helps, like we've harped on time and again, the power of one. And that's something that Terry Holland really pushed and I firmly agree with and believe in. Just like Clemson back in the day with the IPTE club, I pay 10 a year. It's of course where that comes from.
Yeah.
And I was
Bubba, stay on topic with that. Bubba, you coach and teach. How many fellow East Carolina alums do you teach with there even where you are in the western part of the state?
I've come across several. And right now I'm at Southeast Middle School in Salisbury right now. And I know at my school there's probably at least maybe three or four ECU alums.
And are they diehard Pirates to get to the Pirate Club and buy season tickets?
To be honest with you, I don't think any of them are in the Pirate Club. Maybe one, but I don't think any.
So you got four alums that you know of at your school, and maybe one is in the Pirate Club.
Yeah, but probably none.
Probably none. And you're sitting there as a graduate of Averett University, and you are in the Pirate Club.
Yep. And
how about that?
And Kyle, I know that this is something is far from just you and I, because I've come across several people down through the years who have been in the Pirate Club for several years, and they didn't attend ECU. Maybe they didn't go to college, or maybe they went to college somewhere else, and their spouse attended ECU. I can think one right off the bat whose spouse attended ECU and came from a diehard ECU family, and he had attended a small private school down in Florida, and he's extremely involved in the Pirate Club, and does so much for the university and the ECU Educational Foundation.
You know, guys, I was going to say that I was talking to a Pirate Club member today, and I told him, I said, isn't it funny how we used to be truly Pirates supporting Pirates. And because of Jeff Comfer and all the stuff we've been through, it's become Pirates against Pirates.
Absolutely. I mean, and we need to, and hopefully this will be the beginning of a process where we can start to come together.
It's a healing process.
Yeah, you know, there's still, obviously, I don't even want to be negative. You know, I'm still not a huge fan of Cecil Staten.
He made the right move.
Yeah, today, yes, but it should already been made. But that's either here nor there. Let's focus on the positive. Hopefully we get a good head coach and a good AD in here, and we can start moving forward. And it's time to come together. I mean, as far as we were talking about the players earlier, look, the players are going to be upset that Scotty Montgomery was fired. But that was their coach. He recruited most of them here.
Yep.
He's been leading the program. You know, I'm sure many of them in their mind feel guilt, like they failed him. Like,
right,
they're the reason he got fired. If we would have won more games, it's our fault. So that is understandable. But what I implore of the players, whoever the next head coach is, buy in, because that's the only way you're going to be successful. If you worry about yourself and you say, well, this guy didn't coach me, they fired my coach, it's not going to work. So buy in. Whoever the next guy is, got to buy in and play hard for him. And otherwise, I promise you, you ain't going to have no fun during your time at East Carolina. The buy-in's got to be huge. And let's turn this thing around. And hopefully, you know, next season, you don't want to start talking about – we don't even know who the head coach is going to be. We don't want to start talking about what results we're going to see next season. But hopefully more than three wins, and I'll say again, the only way that's going to happen is if all these boys buy in. And you know whose responsibility that is, and it ain't even those players' responsibility. Whoever the next head coach is, it's his responsibility when he steps on the field or in the meeting room with those boys for the first time. His first recruiting job, it ain't to secure the signing class that Scotty Montgomery is putting together. His first recruiting job is these boys who are already on this team. He needs to go in there and re-recruit every damn one of them and get them to buy in.
Right, and I'll tell you one thing right now. I really believe that we're going to have a great year next year. What I mean by that is, if you look at 2019, we got the Southside project going on. That'll be done. Looks like maybe, I was told yesterday, ahead of time, maybe June it's looking like now, which is a really good sign there. So, try to make it to that press conference, speaking of press conference. But if you look at 2019 and you look at, we're going to have a new basketball, well, we had a, sorry, new maybe potential women's basketball coach, but you got a new AD. You definitely have a new football coach. Who knows what, I assume the chancellor's going to be here. Who knows what that's going to be like. But 2019 is going to be a huge year. And I think, I understand that what I was going to say earlier to the situation, I understand you want to do the right thing by letting Coach Montgomery stay out in their eyes, stay the whole season and all that. But the reason why they made that decision, again, today being Thursday at lunchtime, is if you wait till Saturday, Sunday, Monday, oh, my God, you could lose Houston. You could lose every single person. And guess what's going to happen? If you don't act on a Mike Houston, Butch Jones, a wow hire, and they get somebody that you're scrambling around trying to find a dude that can coach or that's okay or decent, you could be in a real, real pickle. And then guess what folks in the media and the fan base would say? There they go again.
Correct. I'm sorry. I'm sitting there reading Twitter trying to see if there's any updates on the situation.
Well, I was just
Bobby's probably doing the same thing.
I didn't want to like filibuster here, but I think that they're I'm checking every time there's an email coming out or any kind of alert. But
yeah, it looks like everybody is on this, that Mike Houston is definitely a candidate for East Carolina. I mean, it's
If you don't go after Houston, if Houston wants to be here, He's got coaches that have coached here who want to be here. Now, Donnie K, I know that those guys, Greenville's like home to them. But Donnie's case, his son played baseball here, just graduated last year with Davis. I mean, they've got a lot of roots here. And when you look at Shank, this would be, what, his fifth? Bubba, his fifth, and Kyle, his fifth time as a coach at East Carolina, position coach?
Yes.
Yes, and it would be his, I guess, technically his fourth stint, but fifth head coach, because you have, of course, Art Baker, Steve Logan, and then like you're going on to say.
Bill Lewis
and Skip.
Yeah. Well, I feel with everything going on, if they get Mike Houston in, that would be huge. And again, if it's Butch Jones, but you can't just, again, please don't get an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, no offense.
Well, now, let me you finish what you're saying there, David, but if Mike Houston falls through, we got to hire somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And if Georgia Tech offers Butch Jones, we're not going to be able to match their offer. Now, there are other head coaches, Jim McElwain, formerly of Florida.
Right.
Elon's head coach, whose name I can never remember.
Kurt Cinetti.
Yeah, but there are some coordinators out there that would make good head coaches. Now, what you got to do is be really smart and hire the right fit if you're going to hire a coordinator. I think of Shane Beamer, for example, would be his special teams coordinator, associate head coach in charge of offense at Oklahoma, would be a good fit. The Clemson OC would be a sexy hire. I mean,
Tony Elliott.
Yes. Anybody coming from Clemson is going to be a rock star, at least coming in. Now, how it works out, who knows? But I'm with you on that, David. If we can get somebody with head coaching experience that's been successful, that knows how to run things, where there's going to be no learning on the job, that is definitely the way we need to go.
Speaking of Shane Beamer.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, Bubba. Go ahead.
With Shane Beamer, our good friend Stephen Igo with Hoist the Colors, that's what he put out an article, three names to keep an eye on, and Shane Beamer was one of those names.
Who were the other two?
Of course, Mike Houston, and I hadn't read the article yet, but I believe the third one's Butch Jones.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like I'm going to be like upset. Like, there's great coaches out there, and there are great coaches that are offensive and defensive coordinators. But I think when you look at the situation right now, if you can get those guys with head coaching experience that have been, like, obviously –
correct, yes.
You've got to go with that. You've got to go with that's to me – timing is everything, and I think in any other time I would be more open to entertain the idea of offense or defensive coordinator that route if there was somebody that I was like, wow, I think they would be great, makes sense to have them. I just don't think that you can go that route this time. If we have to go that route, we go that route. But if we don't, and we can get a Butch Jones or the Mike Houston or Kurt Cignetti, one of those guys that have been winners, then hey, go get them. But I think that we can get. I really believe in my heart that Mike Houston. I'm not saying this is his dream job. I'm not going to go there that far.
No.
But it is a huge, huge opportunity for him. And this is something I want to talk to you guys about. If you're Mike, just imagine you're Mike Houston, okay? You go to, let's compare Charlotte or East Carolina. It's no comparison. It's like apples and oranges. Speaking of Sonny Randall, that whole thing with our good friend Terry Gallagher, I want to give him a shout out. Check this out. You come into East Carolina with the fan base we have, and you're confident, you know that you're a great coach, you get the assistance you want. This guy could, let's say that he's a resume builder, which is fine with me, 4 or 5 years, he comes in, wins like 9, 10, 8, 7, 8, 9, 10 games a year, handful of years. Man, he could write his ticket pretty much anywhere, a really big Power 5 job.
Well, if that's what's on his mind is to build his resume and get a Power 5 job, then yes, East Carolina will give him that opportunity better than Charlotte. If he wants to stay somewhere long-term, I mean, East Carolina would be, I would think if you're a football guy, a better spot to be long term than Charlotte. The only thing I think Charlotte does have going for us is they offered him first, and going for them rather is they offered him first, and they have an AD already in place.
Yeah.
So there's no question on the leadership, but by the way, speaking of Mike Houston, I got his records right here in front of me, guys. I'll go over it real fast. While at Lenore Ryan, year number one, he went 7-3. Year number two, he went 9-3. And they got eliminated in the second round of the Division II playoffs. Year number three, they went 13-2 and lost in the Division II National Championship game. Then he was on to the Citadel, which is one of the toughest jobs in FCS.
Right.
Hold on, guys. Sorry, somebody's calling me here, and I'm got to send it to voicemail. All right. Sorry, now I can finish reading that. Then he was at the Citadel, which is one of the toughest jobs in FCS. In 2014, his first year there, he went 5-7. His second year there, he went 9-4 and took them through the FCS playoffs to the second round. Then he was hired by JMU. 14-1, won the FCS National Championship. Second year, 14-1, lost the FCS National Championship. This year, right now, he's 9-3, and they're in the FCS playoffs. So
in the quarterfinals.
Yes. And so his and this is conference. Well, he at Lenore Ryan, first place conference. He won the conference all 3 years he was at Lenore Ryan, 19-2. It is end of his tenure at Lenore Ryan. At the Citadel, he finished fifth his first year at the Citadel in the SoCon. Second year, he won the SoCon at the Citadel. Finished 14-11 overall at the Citadel. And at JMU, he won the conference, obviously, the previous 2 years. Finished second in the CAA this year, 22-2.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer. I don't care. He's won at every level. And that's the thing is that we're having to.
80-24. It's all-time head coaching record.
Yeah.
Something else about him, guys, is just him being a North Carolina native, like we referenced it. Going back to his high school days, and I think he's I think he may be an alum of Fort Bush High School, but he at least had a little bit of a coaching stint there at Fort Bush High School, which is just west of Winston-Salem. But
I bet nobody's ever made fun of that name.
No, but Coach Houston, with him being a North Carolina native, he's well aware of what ECU's been down through the years, and he knows – when we have things rolling, the atmosphere that is present at Dowdy-Ficklin Stadium and everything that the Pirates bring to the table and the type of community that Greenville is as far as being a college town and that sort of thing. So he's well aware in what East Carolina is all about.
Sure. And obviously with Donnie Kirkpatrick and Steve Shankweiler on the staff, he's clearly aware of the history of Pirate football.
Not only that, I know our former defensive coordinator, of course, Rick Smith, who coached with Donnie and Shank. He's, of course, gone up there multiple times to watch JMU games and had that interaction with Coach Houston as well.
No, it's almost too perfect of a fit. It's almost too perfect that I'm just scared it's not going to happen. Mr. Richmond, are you still with us?
Yeah, hang on, guys.
All right.
Speaking of high-profile coordinators, I mean, you had Shane Beamer that you referenced, and then, of course, Tony Elliott from Clemson, who's done such a tremendous job there as OC, or co-OC. And
right.
Then you have Jake Spavadal up at West Virginia. I don't know if you guys saw this. He's going to be hired. I think I actually may have even seen this last night, but if not, earlier today, and new head coach at Texas State to replace Everett Withers.
Correct, yes. He is and a heck of a good offensive coordinator. Sean Elliott at Clemson is somebody that really, if we're going to go up the coordinator route, interests me.
Yeah, Tony Elliott, someone who's been there with Dabo Swinney for several years now, of course.
Yeah, I don't know who the hell Sean Elliott is, but that's what you're saying, isn't it?
The reason you said Sean Elliott was He's the head coach at Georgia State, and he had previously
been at South Carolina.
He played at App State and coached at App State for years, and then, of course, at South Carolina with Spurrier, and then interim head coach at South Carolina before spending one year on Will Muschamp's staff.
I got you. I just got my names mixed up.
Right. But Tony Elliott, he had been mentioned in connection with that Georgia Tech job, which obviously makes sense. And they're on the opposite side of the conference, and he has so much experience in that conference and region, and definitely makes sense why Georgia Tech wants to speak with him.
All right, guys, I'm back. I do you think Butch Jones? What do you think? Are you feeling good about Mike Houston?
If Mike Houston should be our first choice, if things fall through with Mike Houston, then Butch Jones would be a damn good backup. I mean, before this Mike Houston stuff came to light, the rumors we were hearing were Butch Jones, and we were all pretty excited about it. But
I think what you said
to a man,
right.
We'd rather have Mike Houston, but I think Mike Houston's the perfect fit. But Butch Jones is a proven winner. He won the MAC at Central Michigan. He won a piece of the Big East at Cincinnati.
He's won four conference championships. He's won two with the MAC and he's won two with Cincinnati, right?
Right.
Yes.
I have that at Central Michigan. He of course followed Brian Kelly, and he went 8-6, 8-5, 11-2. And in that 11-2 season, they were 8-0 in the MAC and
American. That was at Central. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then went on to the GMAC Bowl, and they finished that season ranked 23rd and 24th respectively in the AP and coaches polls. And then at Cincinnati, year one, he was 4-8, but then he went 10-3, 9-3, and then at Tennessee. He, of course, followed up Lane Kiffin after he headed out to USC.
After 1 year.
And he went 5-7, 7-6, 9-4, 9-4, and then he was 4-6 when they let him go in 2017.
Yeah, so he's been a winner, man. He had, 11 years as head coach, 8 winning seasons, 3 losing seasons. I'll take that any day of the week. So, I mean, that's more solid. If we get either one of them, we'll be in good hands. I do think Mike Houston is the better fit. I do think Pirate fans would like that better as a whole. Mike Houston's kind of one of us, even though he ain't.
There's nothing against, again, if we get Butch Jones, he's a proven
correct.
Winner. I think the edge for me would be the North Carolina ties. He checks that box. When you have the East Carolina connections of who's on the staff, I don't know if all of them will stay because of if they have a chance to be a head coach. Obviously, with Donnie Kirkpatrick in mind, or Steve Shankweller has another opportunity somewhere else. Who knows? But the fact that you have a chance to have that coach with a proven record. It's really like the way that I look at both either one, but especially Mike Houston, it's a safe bet.
Well, I agree. And with Butch Jones, I think it's a safe bet he would win here. I will say this about Butch Jones. There are some negatives. There are some people at Tennessee who don't like him. My only negative with Butch Jones personally is he is known for cliches and coach. He is notorious for that.
Which Mike Houston is not.
Right.
He's more of a straight-shooter, I think.
He's very, very much so. And so if coach speaking cliches get on your nerves, you get ready for that with with Butch Jones. But, what else he is known for besides that is winning. So I can deal with a lot of cliches and a lot of coach speak if you're winning.
Yeah, because if you don't have it, doesn't matter. As long as you're winning, that's the most important thing. Any final words, guys? We'll wrap this up. We've got a lot of content that we're trying to get out. We had no idea. It messed us up, too, as far as schedule, but it's fine. It is what it is. Do you have any final thoughts? I'll throw it to you, Bubba, first.
I do have one thing. I was looking at Steven Igoe's Twitter, a tweet that he put out here about an hour ago, shortly after the press conference ended with Coach Blackwell. I think he just did a tremendous job, Coach Blackwell, that is. And then Steven Igoe tweeted, and David Blackwell was very upfront during this afternoon's press conference in what's really unfair circumstances. No comments from the administration, which obviously stands out. I don't know if Dave Hart's not there in town, I'm guessing, or Chancellor Staten. But anyway, no comments from any of the administration. But he said no comments from the administration, but credit to the defensive coordinator and Pirate alum for standing up and answering all questions. Emotional time right now.
Yeah, look, we can't vilify. You know, we've been vilifying this administration, and they deserve it. But we can't ask them to fire the coach, and then when they do it, be overly critical of when they did it, to be honest. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I see where you're coming from for sure.
So it's done, and now the biggest concern is making the right hire.
Right. And that's, you know what, if they're good, Tony, I feel like if it doesn't really matter. I mean, there's better timing, but if there's circumstances of why you did it, then there's obviously a reason why they did it on Thursday. And I know Jeff Bradley doesn't understand that, but if, and that wasn't a dig on him, I'm saying that there's a reason why they did it today, even though we've been critical of decision-making, they did it. And it may be that very thing, like we're talking about, is they want to make sure they get their guy and not wait till, I mean, can you imagine if you were all prim and proper and, oh yes, well, you see,
I'll tell you, if Mike Houston comes out and says I've been contacted by nobody at East Carolina,
then
I'm going to start scratching my head and wondering why the hell we did it today and just didn't wait till Saturday
night. I'm just saying, can you imagine? Can you imagine if, my point is, if somebody said, well, how come you didn't go after Mike or get Mike Houston or, you know, Butch Jones or anyone? Well, you have to see, we promised fans that we would wait until the end of the season, and we thought that was the right thing to do with the players and all that kind of. You can't do that. It's a business, and if we don't get the guy, they had to know that if they don't get their guy or a big time guy, oh my God, it would definitely be all hell would break loose, and that's the understatement of certainly 2018. But
Bubba, did you hear the whole press conference with Blackwell?
I did.
Do you know if anyone addressed if he knew if it was Montgomery's choice, not the coach this game, or if it was the administration's choice?
I didn't hear him.
I didn't hear him address it.
Okay, you boys at the press conference have to do a better job with the question.
well, you were off today. You could have been there. True enough. I'm gonna call you out.
True enough.
We call out on the streets. I'll tell you, no, I'm just messing with you. You know, it's a tough time, but it's a tough day, but it's what needs to be done, and I think that we'll be better for it, and it's going to be tough on the team, but who knows. But anyway, it is what it is. All right, for Bubba Rosenbaum and Kyle from LaGrange Barber, I'm Dave Richmond for the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.